Open your Bibles up to the book of Romans. Last week, we started a new section in the book of Romans. And last week, as we opened up this new section of the book of Romans, we talked about this concept very briefly about EQ. EQ, you've heard of IQ, right? Intelligence quotient. We talked about EQ, and that's emotional quotient. The EQ a person has is this. It's the ability to relate with other people in a positive way. Now, the Bible has a lot to say, I believe, about how we treat other people when it comes to love and respect. And regardless of your age, I think there's always something we can learn and improve on in how we relate to other people every single day. Let's say, for example, you're at church right now. Church gets over in about 40 minutes or so. And then you walk out into the parking lot, you get into your car, and you're on your way to the restaurant or you're on your way home. And remember, you've had a great experience here at church. But when you get in the car, you find yourself yelling at each other. Has that ever happened? Or maybe you find yourself at the restaurant. You're at the restaurant, you're upset with the waiter or the waitress because they got your order wrong. And you're disrespecting them because they got your order wrong. Have you ever had a moment in your life where the words coming out of your mouth to another person, you knew you shouldn't be saying that. You knew you should, you know you should ratchet it down, but yet you keep talking and disrespecting that. Has that ever happened to you? You know what's wrong, but you keep it up. See, that doesn't make God happy. And sometimes we don't represent Jesus Christ very well. As Christians, we're called to live differently. Sometimes we struggle with living differently. Sometimes we struggle with respecting everybody else. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, but let me read that for you again today. Just very briefly, let me say this. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, 2, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. We could put a period right there and go home right now. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. He goes on to say, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way, Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, God wants you to be transformed. God wants you to be a different person. God wants you to be changed. He wants you, when you talk with the waiter or the waitress, when you talk with them, treat them the way that Jesus would treat them. When you get pulled over by the policeman or the policewoman, treat them the way Jesus would treat them. When you have a boss just rake you over the coals, treat them the way Jesus would treat them. When you're in school, students, treat your teachers, treat the authorities over you, treat them the way that Jesus would want you to treat them. You see, we need to respect those with whom we interact every single day. And let me ask you this. Do we respect those people in authority over us? You see, God has put people in our lives who are in authority over us, and that's what we're going to try to unpack today. We're going to try to unpack that concept today. Do we respect them? Do we respect our boss? Do we respect our local government people? Do we respect our national government people? Do we respect them? How is your EQ? How is your emotional quotient when it comes to respecting other people and especially those who are in authority? As Christians, we should lead the way when it comes to respect. As Christians, we should lead the way when it comes to respect. Open your Bibles, Romans chapter 13 today. Romans chapter 13 today. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, open up your phone to the Bible app. Maybe you have a tablet with you. Open it up to Romans chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at what Paul had to say to the Christians in Rome about respecting other people. You see, God not only had a lot to say to them back in the first century, but God has a lot to say to us today in the 21st century about respecting other people. Now, back then, the Christians in Rome figured in their mind, not all of them, but some of them, they had figured in their mind that since Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior, well, since he was their Lord, their leader, they didn't need to pay taxes. Some of them thought that since Jesus was their leader and forgiver, they didn't need to follow the laws of the land. To them, that didn't make sense because Jesus was their leader. He was their Lord. But Paul said, "Now wait a minute, let's back that truck up a little bit because we got some talking to do. I've got some lessons for you in how you can talk about Jesus through paying your taxes, how you can talk about Jesus through respecting the laws of the land." And he said, guess what? It's important that you do these things. It's important that you do these things because there will be a disconnect between you and those who don't follow Jesus Christ. The rest of the people in Rome were paying their taxes. The rest of the people in Rome were following the laws of the land. And when they saw the Roman Christians who weren't paying taxes, who weren't following the laws of the land, they were asking the questions, why in the world don't I have to follow the law? Why in the world do I have to pay taxes? If they don't, why do I have to? And Paul said, you know what? We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that. And Paul says today to us, we need to talk about those kinds of issues as well. And here's the first issue I want to address that Paul addresses in the text. The first issue is we need to submit to government. As tough as that is to hear and try to digest, the Bible says we need to respect, we need to submit to the government. And you know, I'm pretty sure, I got to think about this on the way to church this morning. I am pretty sure when you woke up this morning, you know, you slapped the alarm clock off. I'm pretty sure when you woke up, you probably thought to yourself, you know what? Today is a great day. It's a Sunday. I can't wait to get out of bed and respect every single law of the government. I can't wait to respect those in authority over me. I can't wait to do things like that. Bring on the day. I mean, you thought that, right? No. That didn't go. Probably what went through your mind is, where's my cup of coffee, right? I need to wake up. See, Paul says we've got to submit to government. Paul was writing to a group of Christians in Rome who really struggled in respecting the authority over them, who struggled in respecting the law of the land. You see, the emperor was requiring everybody, even the poorest of the poor, even those people in poverty, he's requiring everyone to pay taxes, even exorbitant taxes, and it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair, especially for the people who were poor. But Paul said, guess what? We need to submit to the government even when it's not fair. Even when the government seems corrupt. We need to respect the government. In fact, respect the government even when they're treating you badly in other areas. You see, what was going on was this. Their emperor, whose name was Nero, N-E-R-O, Nero was persecuting Christians in a huge, huge sort of way. He was persecuting them, and the Christians were thinking, wait a minute, respect that guy? Respect his government? I don't think so. Let's say you're living back then. You're living back then, and maybe your friends are in prison for following Jesus. You're living back then, and maybe some of your friends are actually being killed for Jesus' sake. In fact, Nero was so cruel. You can read through some of the... I'll just give you one example of how cruel this man was. He would take Christians. He would tie them to this great, big, huge stake in his garden, and he did this multiple times in multiple places, and at night he would wrap them with this cloth, pour a flammable liquid over this cloth while they're still alive, and then light them on fire and burn them for light in his garden. That's just one example of the many of how cruel this man was. And the Christians back then were saying, wait a minute, you want us to respect somebody like that? That doesn't make sense. Look at Romans 13:1. In light of that, the Apostle Paul says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Those people have been placed there by God. Now, that doesn't mean that the government authorities are going to follow God. That doesn't mean that the government authorities are going to make the godly choices, the godly decisions. But God placed them there in our lives, in our community for a reason. Do you remember back in the Old Testament, let me ask you this. It's kind of a tough trivia question for some people. But who was the very first king of Israel? Anybody know? King Saul. King Saul was the very first king of Israel. Now, King Saul came on the scene. King Saul was adored, was loved by everyone until this young upstart, David, came along. David wasn't king yet, but everyone loved David. Everyone adored David. In fact, they adored David, and King Saul heard about it. King Saul got jealous over the whole thing, and King Saul was so jealous that he sent his army to kill this kid by the name of David, the future king of Israel. Sent the army to kill him, and guess what David did? David said, "Know what? I need to pause for just a moment. I need to figure things out. I need to pray about this whole situation because I still want to try to honor the king in spite of the fact that he wants to kill me." And strangely enough, guess what happened? Strangely enough, David had the opportunity, unbeknownst to King Saul, David had the opportunity to actually kill him. And David didn't do it. David passed on that opportunity. David basically said, "I want to honor God and I want to respect the king that God's placed there." It probably was not very easy at all, but he did it anyway. He knew that God had placed King Saul in a place of authority, even though Saul tried to kill him. Now, Paul, in the New Testament, the writer of Romans, he says in verse 2, 13:2, he says, "So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished." There's a guy by the name of Watchman Nee, a Christian writer, really great Christian writer. He wrote a book called Spiritual Authority, and he calls this delegated authority. Delegated authority. You see, God hands people the keys of authority in order to protect them. And so if God has that in place, it's our job then to respect those people. If we disobey and disrespect the government, if we disobey and disrespect people in authority, guess what? We're ultimately disrespecting God. I'll go as far as to say, if we disrespect other people in general, we're disrespecting God. And so we need to be up on the whole idea of respecting other people and respecting our authorities over us. When we disrespect a police officer, when we disrespect maybe a city representative, a mayor, a county alderman, when we respect a governor, when we respect a president, and it's been going on for a long, long time, disrespecting politicians. But when we disrespect them, guess what? We're disrespecting God. We're disrespecting. On the flip side of the whole thing, when we, guess what? We honor God. We honor God when we obey and respect the authorities in our lives. We actually honor God when we do that. Paul goes on to say in verse 4, he said, "The authorities are actually God's servants, sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what's wrong." God has instituted human government to reward what's good and to, I guess, restrain evil. God gives us the authorities. God gives us the laws for our benefit, our protection. And even if we don't like certain politicians, God gave them to us for our benefit. Now, I know not everyone thinks the same way as what Paul talks about. I know that for a fact. And it's not just when it comes to politicians. It also happens when it comes to bosses. Maybe a coach. Maybe a teacher. But God has called us to respect them because they're there for our benefit. You see, the laws are also in place for our benefit. Even that 35-mile-an-hour speed limit right there by the post office on 26, it's there for our benefit, right? Now, I've not gotten a speed ticket there, but I've come close. You see, those laws are in place for our benefit. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 5, he says, so you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Let's sit on that idea for just a moment. Some of the Roman Christians weren't paying their taxes. Some of the Roman Christians weren't following all of the laws. And he said, you need to do these sorts of things in order for you to have a clear conscience. You see, these people who aren't following the Lord, the people who aren't following the Lord, they see the people who are following the Lord. And the people who are following the Lord, they're not obeying the law. They're not paying the taxes. And the non-Christian is saying, well, why should I look at them? Why should I follow them? Why should I want their Jesus in my life? Why should I? You see, if you're not respecting the government, if you're not obeying the law, if you're trying to share the gospel, guess what? It's going to be a tough thing to do. They won't listen to you because you're going rogue on the government. And you don't want to burn bridges when it comes to talking about Jesus to other people. The non-Christian will say, well, why should we listen to the Christian? Why should we listen to what they have to say? They're not even paying the taxes. They're not even following the law. And so don't burn the bridges. Having a clear conscience is a big deal. The Holy Spirit causes us not to do things. The Holy Spirit helps us to do the right things. And when you don't have a clear conscience, it should bug you. In fact, when you don't have a clear conscience, it should bug you to the point where you say, you know what, I got to change something in my life. Imagine for just a moment, you're on the edge of doing something really significant. You're on the edge of capturing a lifelong dream. Realizing a lifelong dream. That's where professional golfer Brian Davis was back in 2010. Now, we have a Brian Davis in our church, but it's not the same Brian Davis, okay? This professional golfer back in 2010 was facing another golfer, a golfing great by the name of Jim Furyk, and they were in the tournament playoff. They were in the last hole of a sudden death playoff, and at the Heritage Tournament back in 2010. If Davis wins the hole, he wins the tournament. He realizes his lifelong dream. We've got that video queued up. Let's watch that video right now about that event.
Honor, integrity. At face value, they're only words.
Uh-oh, watch out left. Oh, off no. The rocks. It is on the sand in the hazard.
I went for the pin in regulation, trying to get the playoff, and then I go for it the second time round, and I miss it by 5 yards left.
Well, a big question is, does Brian Davis have a bunker shot off the beach? Of course, it's a hazard. You can't touch any of the debris in there. He knows that.
I looked at the ball, and I was like, okay, we've got a shot. Rules official says to me, first thing, just be careful of the reeds. I'm like, yep, thanks, slugger. Now, I know the reeds are not fixed. They're loose. And I get over it, and it's probably this far behind the ball. And I don't think it's a problem because I got to pick the club up.
Now, he may have had a violation back here. Watch out. You're kidding. He's calling it on himself.
And as I come back down into the ball, I didn't actually see it, but I thought I saw the grass do this. Just bounce up and down. And I'm not 100% sure, but I just said to him, look, can you just check that on the camera? And he put it into super, super slow-mo. And you could see as I took the club away, it just brushed it, and it just moved up and down.
It's just a two-stroke penalty.
Oh, okay. Oh my goodness. This tournament is over.
Where you are, okay?
It was a very anticlimactic way to end, but he showed a lot of character, and I respect him for bringing it to everyone's attention.
He said, I could not have lived with myself had I not called it on myself. So he's class, first class.
It's only afterwards when I'm driving home from Hilton Head that I start thinking about, oh, what that actually cost me. You know, it wouldn't have changed what I decided to do. But it turned out probably to be one of the best things I've done. I know that I can go to sleep every night and not worry. And that's the biggest thing for me, is the fact that I did the right thing. And it's a good lesson for my kids. There's been lots of guys done it. But obviously, because it was live on national TV, it got highlighted. But there's been plenty of golfers that have done it before. And there'll be plenty of golfers that do it after us as well. Honour. Integrity. At face value, they are only words. But when they become actions of our own accord, they reveal our true character.
Honour. Integrity. They reveal who we are. He said, if I hadn't called that on myself, I couldn't have lived with myself. Honor and integrity. You see, guilt can eat us alive. He said, I couldn't sleep at night knowing I didn't make that call on myself, so I had to make the call on myself. Our conscience can keep us awake at night. The lack of honor, the lack of integrity, doesn't represent God very well. I hear people say, oh, I love God. I hear people say, oh, I go to church. I attend a connection group. I attend a Sunday school class. I do this for Jesus. I do that for Jesus. And then I read their posts on Facebook. Or I hear through reliable sources how they treated someone else. Respect. We've got to respect everyone. Everyone. You see, if we don't follow the rules, if we don't respect other people, it's going to push the non-Christian away from Jesus. One of the reasons that you exist on this planet is to tell other people about Jesus. You should be building bridges with other people for Jesus rather than burning bridges and pushing them away. The purpose of the church is to bring people to Jesus and to raise them up in Jesus. If we as church members don't have a life of integrity and honor, we're burning bridges. Honor and integrity. We've got to have a clear conscience. We don't want to push people away. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I do not agree with a lot of the stuff that's going on today in our politics, local and national. I don't agree with a lot of it at all. But there is a respectful way to disagree with a politician. There is a respectful way to disagree with those in authority. And what I see in our nation, what I have seen in our community, I have seen hundreds, I've seen millions of people disrespecting those in authority. And it's not just happened this past year. It's been happening for years and years and years. As Christians, we ought to lead the pack when it comes to respect. We ought to lead the parade when it comes to respect. In fact, speaking of respect, Paul talked about paying taxes. And he gets right down to it when it comes to verse 7 and paying taxes. He says right there, he says, give to everyone what you owe them. He goes on to say, pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Even when you don't like certain taxes, you go ahead and you pay them. Be honorable. Be respectful. I mean, don't you want a clear conscience? Don't you? Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, he said there, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. It honors God when you're respectful to the authorities and the laws of our land. I mean, who doesn't want to honor God? I don't know of many people who don't want to honor God. Is there ever a time, though, is there ever a time when we're not to follow the laws? Is there ever a time when we're not to follow the authorities? Is there an exception clause to what we're talking about today? I think there is. Anytime it's contradictory to God's word. Anytime it's contradictory to God's word, because understand, God is our final authority. Put that down in your notes. God is our final authority. That's number two. God's our final authority. You see, if your boss asks you to do something unethical, your response is to do what God wants you to do. Maybe a teacher asks you to do something that goes against God's word. Guess what, student? Respectfully decline, because God is our final authority. Here's a third thing when it comes to respecting authority. Be diligent in your work. Be diligent in your work. Colossians 3:23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question right now. Have you ever had a job you did not like? Raise your hand. Yeah. Kelly. Have you ever had a job you didn't like? Yeah, all of us have, right? You ever had a boss you couldn't stand? You ever have coworkers you just despised? Have you ever had the job and you're not making much money at it? However, you can't quit that job because you need the money that badly. You don't want to go to work, but yet you go to work with a really bad attitude. Let me challenge you with this. What about going to work with a different attitude? What about going to work and instead of working for that person, you go to work with the attitude, I'm going to be working today for God. I'm going to do my very best today, not for that person, but I'm going to do my very best today for Him. I'm going to turn out quality work. In fact, I'm going to pray for my coworkers. What's more, I'm even going to pray for my boss. If my coworkers need some hours covered, I might try to cover their hours if I can. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be nice to them. I'm going to respect them. And if you do that sort of thing, I would venture to say that in time, people might be going, hey, what's wrong with you? I would venture to say that in time, you might even have the opportunity to have a witness in their life. You might even have the opportunity to maybe even talk about Jesus to those people. You see, it's a bridging point. Respect is a bridge into other people's lives. Respect is a bridge into other people's lives. Look at number four. When we respect others, we actually honor God. When we respect others, we actually honor God. Today, well, first of all, let's look at 1 Peter 2:17. 2:17, 1 Peter 2:17. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. We've talked about the government people. We've talked about local politicians. We've talked about our bosses. We've talked about coaches. We've talked about teachers. We talk about people in authority in general. But how are you doing when it comes to respecting everyone else? How about respecting those people in your home? A few weeks ago, I was out in our front yard, I don't know, getting something out of the truck or doing some yard work or something. And my neighbor, he got into the car with his daughter. Adult daughter, her car. All the windows were rolled down. And as they zoomed past my house and got down the street a few houses, I heard her yelling at her father in anger. I've heard other adult children yelling at their parents at one time or another. I have witnessed children yelling at their parents. I have witnessed husbands yelling at their wives and wives yelling at their husbands out of anger. Disrespect. Disrespect. Or how about the other side of the coin? You get so involved, fellas, you get so involved in the game on TV. And by the way, the Colts won last night, did they not? They actually won a preseason game. But you get so involved in watching the game on TV, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, or whatever. You get so involved in that. You're just like tunnel vision. You hear or notice nothing, anything else other than what's going on the TV. And you don't respect those people around you. Or on the other side of the coin, ladies. Let's say you're working down in the basement, or maybe you're working in another room in the house, and you're so involved in that one little project that's going on that you have no idea what's going on in the lives of other people in your home. That's another side of the coin of disrespect. In some cases, respect in the home can actually lead someone in the home to Jesus. Respect in the home honors God. Last question for you today. Are you dialed in to how God wants you to treat another person? Are you dialed in on that? How God wants you to treat someone else? I mean, just imagine for just a moment how God can use your respect for another person to lead that other person to Jesus Christ. It might not happen overnight, but it might happen in a few years. And speaking of leading people to Christ, where are you with Jesus? Where are you in that relationship with Him? I hope and I pray today that you've got a good relationship with Him. When you have a good relationship with Him, usually these relationships go well too. And so make sure that your relationship is good here. Is your relationship good with Him? If not, man, let's talk about that. Jonathan Ward just got baptized last Sunday after this service. He came forward. Jonathan's a great guy. Unbelievably quiet, isn't he, Joyce and Jeff? Unbelievably quiet, right? But he got baptized into Christ. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I need to get baptized into Christ. Maybe you're here today and say, you know what, I need to believe, I need to live that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. He's my leader in life. He's the forgiver of my life. If you're there, man, I'd like to talk to you. I really would. Or any number of people in our church would love to talk to you. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father, we love you, and God, we thank you so much for Paul's words, your servant's words in the book of Romans. God, it's really easy for us to jump on the bandwagon of disrespect. But God, we need to lead the pack when it comes to respect. Help us, God, to respect the government authorities. God, help us to respect those people in our lives who are in authority. God, help us to respect you and just people in general. God, if there's anybody here today who needs to get into a relationship with you, God, I pray that you'll move in their life to the degree that they'll say, you know what, I need Jesus. So God, help us all. In fact, help us all say, we need Jesus. We need more of Jesus in our life. We pray that in Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen.